I'd like to open up this morning through the scriptures and the book of Psalm, chapter 78, verses 1 through 7, which says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, when he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put on the confidence in their God, and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments." Please join me in prayer. Father, we pray at the reading of your word this morning that your sayings would come to light to us through the various voices in our lives. And we pray that even the unborn children who have not been birthed into this world yet would still receive the legacy and the word that will be ingrained into them through the fiber of their being, as you so eloquently portray in the book of Psalms. Father, teach us to teach our children. And I ask that the children's ears would be opened to receive your sayings and to receive your words and to receive your commandments, to learn wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of you, the Holy One. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're happy to be in the house of the Lord today, how about a big amen to God and others around you to let him know that you're glad to be in his presence. Amen? Amen. Psalms chapter 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel and then chapter 20. Old Testament, 1 Samuel, chapter 20. Whoever said that you can't buy friends didn't know about the shallow shortcuts of our internet today, in our internet age. In an article in a magazine called Hemispheres, they explored a number of sites that are dedicated to helping you find online friends. And these companies, what they will do is they'll create fake users, and they'll also pay real account holders to follow and like you on various social media sites. For instance, on the site called socialup.com, you can buy 500 likes for $30 or 20,000 likes for $699. And on Twitter, for a mere $10 from a site called FanMeNow, they'll find you 1,000 Twitter followers for a mere couple of $100, but for $1,750, you can buy a million followers to follow you on Twitter, and that'll boost your popularity. If you need to beef up your YouTube video, $150 will buy you 30,000 views on YouTube from a site called 500views.com. And for $3,100, they'll make your video go viral by getting you 1 million views on your YouTube video. The article concludes with this following advice. It says, no matter what social network you're on, you can buy your way to popularity. So there's that, if you need friends. After killing Goliath and saving the people of Israel from the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David became extremely popular. In fact, David's popularity grew while Saul's diminished. And this kind of caused some concern for Saul and caused him to fear David a little bit in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul tried to kill David on a number of occasions, which I'm sure y'all are familiar with, but God still protected David from Saul's murderous assaults. And then David then fled to the prophet Samuel in the town of Ramah in 1 Samuel 19. But Saul was so determined to get David, he even followed him there. And it was clear in David's mind that Saul was determined to kill David. And so David fled in fear. He did what anybody would do if you know someone's trying to chase you and kill you. And he went back to Gibeah. And there in Gibeah, he found Saul's son, Jonathan, which he considered a very, very dear and close friend, one of his best friends. You can read about it in your word. So we all have those very close, dear friends and family members that we find safety in, whether confiding in, whether listening to, or whether just surrounding them around us. We like to hear their voices. My grandfather, who we put to rest last month, he left a lot of voices in my life. During his 101 years on this earth, and I can still hear them within me this day. Some of his stories were very entertaining. A man called Cap Falconberry, I've told some of you about him. Quite a character. Imagine, if you will, back in the days of our times, or Little Rascals. Cap Falconberry, he had a cart driven by a goat that he'd take to school. And he smoked a corncob pipe, and all the school kids, of course, were jealous of that. He convinced the teacher that he had to smoke it because of medicinal purposes. But however you take it, that may be. But he also got entertainment from it, because he would challenge the school kids to get in wrestling matches and fighting matches, because they all wanted a puff from his pipe. And so whoever won the wrestling match or fighting match, they'd get a puff from his pipe. But, you know, just imagine someone like that back in our times, or Little Rascals days, pulling a cart pulling by a goat, riding on there smoking a corncob pipe. And it's interesting enough that when I did my grandfather's funeral last month and I told that favorite story, while I was greeting the people afterwards that had come to his funeral, a lady shook my hand and she said, "I'm Cat Falconberry's granddaughter." Of all people. And she said, "He was quite a character." She said, "That's just one of the stories I could tell you about that man." So it's interesting when people have voices in your life that can tell you stories that you'll remember, that keep you entertained and fascinated. And it's those voices we hold dear. Voices also can scare you. I met with a group of boys last month who visited St. Vincent's, an old abandoned building on Northeast 23rd in Oklahoma City. The facility was an asylum, was a rehab center at one time, a nursing home. And these boys went there and they were hearing voices. They got spooked. They came up to Kisha and said, Miss Ferguson, we've got to talk to you. We know your husband's a pastor. Can we meet with him? We went to this place. We hear voices. It's scaring the fire out of us. Can we just talk to him?" And so I met with them and explained to them about the spiritual realm. And we had a cleansing service followed by the Lord's communion. And so those voices can scare you sometimes. And the voices that you and I hear, the voices in our lives, whether it be companions that we have close to us, or loved ones that have passed on that we hold dear, or even those friends you have today that you consider are in your inner circle. Pastor Adam began a series last month in January called Fighting Your Battles, and I would like to kind of continue that theme this month as well. This morning I want to speak to you on the importance of having an inner circle. Those people who can shape your life in the right way. Let's look at our passage this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 25. King sat on a seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Then Jonathan rose up and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. That's all I'm going to read today, because because I'd like to share some thoughts with you on that verse, on that particular verse. Because what we do is we get a picture of King Saul here and his inner circle, who he allows in to speak to his life and to speak closely. The Bible says that Saul was at his table, he's at his home and he's in his palace, and there's certain people there. And what I think is interesting, though, in that verse is the people that who are not there, that used to be there. Speaking this morning on the inner circle, because right voices in your life bring right choices. Because if you don't get the right voices in your inner circle, there's not going to be any way that you're going to be able to make right choices in your life. Amen? And this story illustrates that. The Bible said that King Saul was sitting at his usual place. And you almost have to kind of read between the lines there that his usual place that he sat portrayed that he was immovable. He thinks that he doesn't have to move anymore. His back is against the wall. He's paranoid. And he's in a place like never before, because we're told in our scripture there, passage, that we're told who's there as well as who's not there by absence. And it's in his inner circle that these people who are in the room are given unrestricted access to the king, into his thought life, into his heart, into the things that's on his mind. Therefore, their voices, what they have, they're really heavily influencing Saul's choices, because he's got them gathered together there and he's listening to them. And that's so important to understand, because if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Because your friends that are close in your inner circle are basically a photograph of your future. Your friends are a photograph of your future. The Bible puts it like this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. It says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Or as the Message version says, it says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel that you follow, the better your chances. So there's safety in getting these wise people and these wise voices inside your inner circle. When we make good decisions, we make them according to the people who are advising us or who we're listening to. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6 says, for by wise guidance you will wage war, and in the abundance of counselors there is victory. So that validates that. In other words, you don't ever want to go into battle without wise voices speaking into your life first. Don't ever just tear your life up, just throw everything down and go out to war, so to speak, without listening to some people first. People who have wisdom. People who know the Word of God and who have the Spirit of God in their life to bring into your life. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. But if you reprove a wise man, he will love you. And then it goes on to say in verse 10 afterwards, that the verse we're familiar with, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so you need these people in your life. Everybody needs people like that in their inner circle who can influence you with their voice to make the right choices. But Saul did not have wise people around him, and I'll show you that in a moment. But when pride entered his life, he began to isolate those around him who had wise counsel. When Saul started out, the most predominant voice in his life was the voice of God. And the voice of God came to Saul through the voice of Samuel the elder, Samuel the prophet. God used Samuel, and when Samuel spoke, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, it said, of the words of Samuel, not one word fell to the ground. Isn't that amazing of Samuel? In other words, God basically backed up everything Samuel said. And this was the kind of voice that came to Saul and said, God has chosen you to be the king of Israel. The first king to ever be on the throne of Israel. Before that, we had the judges, Samuel and all those guys. But now the people want a king, and he's chosen you, Saul, to be king. That was the voice that used to be at his table, Saul's table of wise counsel. The most important voice, as we see in 1 Samuel chapter 20, is no longer in Saul's inner circle. Samuel's not there. The voice, the elder, that had that razor-sharp sensitivity, that could hear God's voice and speak to Saul. And it would move Saul to his very bones when Samuel spoke to him. But now he's removed that man from his life. And whenever you remove God's voice from your life, you start hearing other voices. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, it said, as long as Samuel was by Saul's side, then his words would keep the enemies at bay. That powerful. Which shows us how important it is to have elders and some people who have lived the walk and to listen to them and hear them. Elders, it may be your mother, it may be your father or your grandparents. And yes, they may get on your nerves because they keep you after spiritual things, even though you just want to hear the good things. But you don't always need everybody in your inner circle just to tell you good things or hear the things that you just want to hear. And you need some people in your inner circle to tell you some things you need to hear. And they don't care whether you like it or not. They're going to tell you. That's the beauty about getting older. You really don't care who hears you or not because you're going to tell them. Your filter kind of gets worn down a little bit and you just say what you want to say to them. But you're wise if you have those in your life, those right voices in your inner circle to make those right choices in your life. And I'll say today, I'm thankful for both Jim and Jan Murray for over the 34 years that I've known them to speak right words into my life as well as Kisha's. It's good to have people like that in your life. Good to grow up with people in church that you trust and that you see and that they speak to you and they can look at you and they can tell if something's going on or not, or if things are not good or good. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul began to disobey God and didn't do what God told him, that God gave him a clear direction to smite and kill all of the Amalekites. God had a reason for that. And you'll see the reason in just a moment. But Saul, instead, he said, I'm not going to obey that. But instead, I'm going to keep the king as a trophy. Hey, this is the king of the Amalekites. They're a big group of people. I'm keeping this guy. I'm bringing him back. We're going to have a parade. And I'm going to keep all the choice sheep because they're going to be good for sacrificing. I'll kill all the lame, sick ones and crippled ones. But we're going to have a big public offering with the sheep that I bring back. And the people will love it, and yeah, I'll look good probably too. And we'll put on a big religious show, and it's going to be a big deal. I know my way. Sometimes I think my way is better than God's way. He told me to kill all those things, but he just doesn't understand. Those sheep would make a good offering. And then comes in the old prophet. Comes in wearing his mantle, and he points his old bony finger at Saul. Saul the king, he's powerful, he's prestigious, he's popular with all the people, he's wealthy, he's all of that, but none of that means anything to God. As Samuel looks at Saul, and 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, he says, when you were little in your own eyes, you had worth to the kingdom. But now you've lost that littleness in your own eyes. Your ego's out of control. Your pride's out of control. You're not listening to the voice of God. You're not hearing the word of God. And that's when God used you powerfully, Saul, when you walked humbly. When you walked before the Lord, you had this certain sensitivity about you and this certain fear of God in your life. And he said, Saul, do you remember when I called you and I anointed you and they had to go and fetch you because you were, they had to pull you out among from all this stuff. You were so lowly, you were so humble, you didn't think you deserved the throne, and you hid among the baggage when it was time for you to step up and take the throne. Saul, how you've changed. Now you don't even listen to God's voice. And the prophet Samuel, he's just letting him have it. And Saul, he's the king. And he's very popular with the people, by the way. And then Samuel says these famous words in 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice, for rebellion is of witchcraft. In other words, when you know that God has clearly spoken to you, and you keep doing what you know that God has clearly spoken to you about and told you not to do, then rebellion is of witchcraft. And he was saying that what that does is it opens up the evil side of the supernatural in your home, in your family, and in your life. Just simple obedience to God and his word is always better than strenuous acts of sacrifice on what you think you need to help out God with. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 27, the Bible says that after he told Saul this, he begins to walk out in the presence of the king after he delivers that word. And the king grabs him, and when he does, he misses his shoulder, and he grabs his mantle, and he pulls his mantle off. And Samuel the prophet, he swings around, and he says, just as the mantle has been ripped from me and torn from me, so will the kingdom be torn away from you and placed in another man's hands. And from that day forward, Saul was no longer had Samuel in his inner circle. And from that day forward, the Bible said that Samuel came no more to Saul. The voice of the elder, that voice that brought conviction, that voice that reminded you where you came from your beginnings. The voice that told you to stay humble and stay low. The voice that said to you, there's a way that seems right, but in the end of, there's destruction. That voice was forever removed from the inner circle of Saul's life. And when you don't have God's voice in your life, you'll start hearing other voices. And that was true with Saul. Saul got in a desperate situation and needed a word from God. What did he do? He went to the witch of Endor. When you don't have God's voice in your life, then the enemy happily obliges to give you his voice. And Saul goes to a witch and he says, I need you to conjure up. I need a word from God. See if you can get any word from God for me. Because Saul, by this time, he's so messed up. He now thinks that God speaks through crystal balls and tarot cards. And so when he goes to this witch and she conjures up, and the witch says, I see something in the mist. I see something. And here he comes. He's walking toward, and she says, I see it. And Saul says, what do you see? And she says, I see an old man who's wrapped up in a mantle. And as soon as Saul heard that word, mantle, his word went back to that moment when the old prophet told him that the kingdom will be ripped and torn away from you. And from that day forward, it wasn't long until he'd opened up his life to the wrong voices in his inner circle. So much so that your Bible states in 2 Samuel chapter 1, that Saul tried to commit suicide because his kingdom was being on the verge of being torn and ripped away from him. And he knew it was a lost cause, and he tried to commit suicide. And he fell on his own spear.
But he couldn't make it completely go through his heart, so now he's sitting there, he's leaned over on that thing, and he's bleeding, and he's gurgling blood, and it's out of control, and it's sad, because at the same time that was happening, his son Jonathan was on the other side of the mountain, on that same mountain, fighting for his life as well. And that same enemy kills his father, and I'll tell you something a little bit more about that in a minute. But the same enemy that kills his father is now killing his son. And guess who it was? Saul's there falling on a spear, and he can't quite kill himself. And he hears somebody, his vision is getting blurred, and his life is slowly starting to slip away. And he says, I can't see you. He says, who are you? To the person that he's asking to drive the spear through him. And he's bleeding, and Saul says, will you finish it off for me? Will you just push on my back and send that spear through my body? And as the man's creeping up on him, and Saul sees him and asks him, who are you? You know what his answer was? It's in your Bible, in Chronicles. He says, I am an Amalekite. You know, people that God told you to completely wipe out. He said, I'm not only going to take your life, but I'm going to take the life of your son. I've got him over there on the ground. And what I'm telling you this morning is that there are some things that if we don't conquer them, if we don't overcome them, when God gives you the power to do it, it'll come back and take out the family. It'll not only take you out, but it'll take your children out as well. And you need to understand that spirits grow up. They start out weak, but if you feed them, they'll grow up and they'll move to the father, to the son, to the mother, to the daughter, and so forth. But I'm here to tell you today that we have the power. Through the name and the blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to conquer those spirits as God gives us the power to do it. We have that power today, amen? And it can break the curse off of the whole family. What voices are you bringing into your family? It cost him his life. It cost him his family's life. It cost him everything. And we need those who have lived the life. We need the voices of those who've lived the life. Elders and people who sometimes, yes, they'll get in our business. And people sometimes, yes, they'll preach to us. Our elder was preaching to me back there before I got on stage today. I appreciate that, Philip. People who constantly ask us things like, why weren't you in church? Where were you? I missed you. And why weren't my grandbabies in church? I didn't see my grandbabies there today. You need those in your inner circle. You need them to have a seat in your council of life. And you need them there in your inner circle, because if you don't have those right voices who are close to you, what happens is you'll begin to stray further and further and further away, and you'll start going after those other voices. Notice that when he got rid of the voice of God, he got very close to the voice of a fool. And that fool being Abner, who was sitting at the table next to them. And I'm not going to get into him today, but you can read about him in 2 Samuel, about how he deceives Saul and gives him wrong counsel to try to overtake the kingdom. But Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 is so powerful, that says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He didn't say that the fools will be destroyed only, but he says, you may be smart, and you may be intellectual, and you may know the word of God, and you may know who Jesus is, but if you start becoming a companion of fools, and the fool has said in his heart there is no God, because his life portrays that,
And if you start hanging out with those and listening to those voices of foolish people, the Bible said that the companion of fools will be destroyed. Not only the fools, but the companions of them. Who's in your clique? Who are you listening to today? Who have you put out of your circle? When's the last time God really rocked your world? When's the last time you had such a word from God that you just trembled inside? When's the last time that you were broken and had tears in your eyes? Maybe you've removed that voice and now you're getting closer and closer and getting cozied up to all of those other voices. Notice what happens also in our passage. It says that Jonathan, his son, the rightful heir to the throne of Saul, is now sitting at a distance. He's sitting opposite of Saul. Because there's another voice, and it's always a dead giveaway of danger. And that's when you start having the family voice at a distance. You move them away and bring fools closer. Why wasn't his son sitting next to him? Why wasn't the heir of the throne sitting next to the king, his father? I'll tell you why, because Saul was nuts. He lost the voice of God, and he was paranoid, and he was delusional. And it seemed like the only thing that could calm him down was David's music, his harp, to soothe that Zen-type calm spa feeling in his life, to settle those evil things, those spirits that were just driving him nuts. And he started listening to those evil spirits, and he starts listening to fools, and he starts making bad choices, and he gets so mad at his boy Jonathan that in that very same chapter, he takes his spear, and he's sitting on the opposite side of the table. And that's how you know Jonathan's sitting on the opposite side of the table of Saul's, because the Bible says that he threw his spear at him. And the enemy wants families throwing javelins at one another and fighting and putting more and more distance between you and your father and your mother and your brother and your sister. Stupid stuff that starts coming into our homes. But Saul attacked his own son, throwing spears. But what's ironic is he also died on that same hill with his son, by the same enemy, because he started listening to the wrong voices, the voices of a fool. And the family voice is getting more and more distant. And that's when should be a red flag going up in your life saying you've got to forgive. That's when you have to reach out, and that's when you have to get on your knees, and that's when you have to stand and fight those demons and fight hell itself over your marriage and over your family and over your children and over your grandchildren. And you have to push out those spirits of addiction, those spirits of immorality. You have to just push them out of your house. Keep the window shut on those things. Don't open the door. Rebellion is of witchcraft. Don't open the evil side of the supernatural in your house. It'll come in like a whirlwind. And in your family. And it doesn't come in like a whirlwind like the movies portray it, but it comes in like things of bitterness. And things of unforgiveness. And things of just being disobedient to God. It comes in subtly. But instead, just shut the door and stop throwing spears against your flesh and your blood. And just instead, just pull them up close to you and love them. Even if they've messed up, just pull them back in. Even if they're far from God, just keep pulling and reaching and holding them close. And just keep telling them that, yes, you love them. Keep praying for them. Keep inviting them to go places with you, to events, to church, or wherever it is. Just keep pulling them. Don't let any fools replace them. Just keep pulling your family close to you and love them. And then what's interesting to note that The scripture passage this morning gives one more detail. There's another voice that's missing from the inner circle. And you know who it is? The Bible says it's David. His seat's empty. You know, David the worshiper. David the prophet who could prophesy. David was spiritual. You want to check on how you're doing spiritually? Then let me ask you this. Do you have any really spiritual people in your life? Not the ones here at church, but in your daily life who are close to you. You have anybody? You have somebody that sends you a prophetic word every now and then, or a prayer for you, or a scripture? Tim, I'm so thankful for the prayers that you send Adam and I through those texts. They mean the world to us. And there's others in here that have sent us texts and messages of encouragement. You have anybody like that in your life? If you do, then you're blessed. When you have people in your life who are just as spiritual, if not more spiritual than you are. And the thing about David is he was spiritual. Now David, he wasn't a perfect man by all means. We all know that. But he was a passionate man. And God says he's a man after my own heart. And God says, you know, I don't have to have you perfect to be a man or a woman after my own heart, but I do need some passion in you. I do need you to get excited about me. You know, I need you to be spiritual. What's wrong with being spiritual? I mean, it's almost like we've become so carnal that we don't want anything spiritual in our life during the day or the week, all week long. We just want to come to church and feel a little bit of God and go home. But you need people in your life who are more spiritual or on the same level as you are. Because what they do is they provoke you to grow in Christ. They provoke you to worship all the time, to get a word from God. And we almost feel sometimes it's like, well, they're a little too spiritual for me. What's wrong with being spiritual? You need somebody to tell you. You need to pray about that matter. Or somebody to tell you or ask you, have you read your Bible? Is there a verse or something that God showed you? Or somebody to advise you, you know, you need to really seek God on that matter. Pray about that. Read His Word. Let a verse come out that just rocks you to your core. We need people in our life to say, you know, you need to come back to church. Or what's God doing in your life? Growing up, my younger years, I always avoided a pastor at a church because every time you'd see him, you'd say, well, Eric, what's God doing in your life? Well, I thanked him for my meal. You know, it just kind of shakes you. It rattles you at first, but I'm telling you, those words stick in your soul and spirit. I dare say that the last step to getting the wrong choices in your life is when the worshiper is dismissed and his chair is empty. And you don't think you have to worship. And you can go hang out somewhere, whether it's the hallway out there, or come in when we're done singing. But when you were little in your own eyes, and you had your hands up, singing those songs with all your heart. You were worshiping with all your heart. And I think it's interesting that King Saul also rarely had the Ark of the Covenant. It was gone for almost 40 years during Saul's reign. Somewhere. It was taken. Because he didn't treasure the presence of God. I don't care if the Ark's gone. I'm popular. The people will listen to me, whatever I say. But as soon as David was sworn in to be king, 1 Chronicles chapter 13 says he calls for a search for the presence of God. He calls for a search for the ark. And he says, if I'm going to take over this nation, then I want to definitely know where the Ark of the Covenant is. And he said, I want you to get the singers, and I want you to get the band, and I want you to get all my soldiers going, and we're going to get the cart driven by ox, not goats, but the cart, and we're going to go down there and we're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. I cannot do this without the anointing. I can't do this without the presence of God. I can't do this what God's called me to do without Him being in my life. Because it's not enough to be smart. It's not enough to be popular. It's not enough to be intellectual. It's not enough to be cute. It's not enough to be fancy. I need the anointing. And he said, bring the ark. And they did. Him along with his 30,000 soldiers. And they're transporting the ark. And after a while, they would stop a little bit and they'd start to praise. They'd start to bring glory to God. After they traveled a little bit, they'd stop and have a praise break. And David, he would take his priestly robe off and he would start dancing before the Lord with all his might, so much so that it embarrassed his wife when they finally reached the kingdom. His wife Micah, who was Saul's daughter, by the way. And so every now and then you need people who are seeking God to get inside of your circle of life. And say to you things like, you know, I noticed that you haven't been praising like you usually do. Is everything okay? I'd like to pray for you today. Or, you know, I just noticed that your countenance seems to have fallen lately. Is there anything that I can pray for you about? Sometimes it's going to seem intrusive. Yes, I understand that. Sometimes it'll even get you annoyed. But if they really have a heart for you, then just know this. That's God's way of checking on you. Checking up on you. And if you've got some people in your inner circle like that, then you're blessed. And if you have people like that in your inner circle, then you're ready for any battle that you may come up against. I need the prophetic. I need God to speak to me. I need the Lord to lay me on somebody's heart every now and then. And I may not need that every day, but every once in a while, when somebody out of the blue sends me a text or a call or an email or something like that, and it's just like, whoa, that's awesome. That just rattled me. That just made me feel so interesting, and that somebody just out of the blue would send me something like this in a good way. What voices, what spiritual voices do you have in your life or in your inner circle? If you have deleted anybody, if you have unfriended anybody from your inner circle, then I'm telling you that something's missing if you've put the wrong voice out. Because you need to get the right voices. The voice of the Holy Spirit who can have your ear right now, who could speak to you and say that all you need to do is say yes to God and no to the world. And as we close today and the band comes up to close us out to sing, I think that in our closing song, I would encourage you to lift your hands up, because we need to get the worshiper back at the table. We need to get the worshiper back in our circle. We're not called to be just religious. We're not called to come to church just to do church. We're called to know Him. We're called to be close to Him. And we're called to be people of His presence. And no, you certainly don't have to be perfect, but you do have to have some passion if you want to be a person after God's own heart. And that had left Saul, and that chair was empty. Has your passion left? Is that empty? Has your worship left? Is that chair empty? Has the consecrated life that's worth living left, and that chair is empty? Are your family more and more at a distance, and that chair is empty? Are you getting closer and closer to people who absolutely have no belief in the same things that you believe in? Do you have things that are more in common with the world than you do with the church? If you do, then something's wrong. And as we close in singing today, we need to lift our hands high and praise Him and say, just, Lord, open my ears again. Give me discernment in my circle. I need those right voices like never before. I can't afford to have the voices of fools louder than the voice of God in my life. I need my family. I need them to be close to me who's distant and throwing spears. I need you to draw them to me. I need to be close to you. I need to restore my family through you. Please, God, help me to push this darkness that seems to just be hanging around my home. Help me to bring your glory and your presence in. Father, I want to have a heart for you. And give me the counsel of elders in my life. Help me to have patience with them. The people who come up and want to counsel me and encourage me and guide me, I need their voices in my life. I need those voices of those I cherished and love, of those who have even passed and gone before me. I need them to remind me of the wisdom and understanding and knowledge that they had, to remind me of your ways, the ways of Jesus, the Jesus who loved me enough to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood so that I could be cleansed and have you in my presence. And to come before me through your throne without being ashamed and to tell you what's on my heart. And all the church said, amen. As the book of Jude verses 24 and 25 say, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in his presence of glory, blameless and with great joy, and only the God of our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, the majesty, and dominion and authority all forever, before time and now and forever. Let's stand this morning and sing. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life this morning, we'd love to pray over you and help you do that and usher you for the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. If you need to repair that inner circle, I would encourage you to do that this week. Bring back those people who you pushed out that can speak wisdom in your life and love and hold you accountable to the kingdom of God. Thank you all this morning for attending the house of worship and praising his glorious name. May you have a blessed week. God bless you all.